out your Bible and want to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 19. And I want to say again tonight, as I always do, what a privilege it is to be involved with such a great group of people as New Life United Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on top of that, to be involved with such a mighty man of God as our pastor. Amen. I appreciate him. Amen. He's a hallelujah. I wished I could whistle like that, brother. I've tried. All that comes out is spit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what a privilege it is to be in the kingdom of God. And I count it a privilege to stand behind this pulpit and deliver the word of the Lord. Do you believe in the word of God tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And I've got my precious daughter playing for me again. Hallelujah. And she says, "Leave me alone, Dad. Don't talk about me." But, you know, us dads can't do that. No, we just can't leave him alone. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 19. And we're going to read verse 19 and verse 20. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 and read verse 38 and 39. I know most of us here can quote that. But let's just read it tonight. Can we do that? Matthew 28 and verse 19 said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name," somebody say name, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And let's go to Acts chapter number 2. And as we listen to the raindrops fall. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38. And the Bible said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Why don't we lift our hands and ask God's blessing upon the word tonight. Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord, for who you are tonight, for that revelation. God, we ask you to move upon every heart, every soul in this place. Touch your word, God. We give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, God established a covenant with the nation of Israel. He said he told them that if they would serve him, that he promised to establish them and make them a holy people. He would bless them greatly and make them a witness of him to all nations. And he expressed this plan by identifying them with his name. Somebody say his name. In his name, Jehovah, in the Old Testament. In fact, in the Old Testament, when you see the word Lord in all caps, it literally stands for the Hebrew name Yahweh, which is Jehovah in English. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 9, Moses proclaimed this, or actually we're going to start in verse 8. "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord." Somebody say called. by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid. God always identified himself or his people and those as those who were called by his name. Amen. And let me give you a couple of examples here tonight. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, a very familiar scripture, the Bible said that the Lord was saying, if my people who are called by my name, somebody say called by my name. He identified his people by those that were called by his name. And then he goes on, and we know the rest of the scripture, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 5, the Bible said, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. Somebody say, called by my name. For I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him and made him. To be called by the name, by God's name, or to be called by his name means to identify with him. When you are called by the name of God, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes, but when you are called by his name, you are identifying with God himself. Can somebody say praise the Lord? You are identifying with his divine character. You are experiencing his power and his authority and his presence. Amen. Can somebody say amen? God's name represents God himself. You can't separate the name of God from God. It's all in the same. So as the people of God, the Bible instructs us as God's people that we exalt his name. And we did a little bit of that tonight. In Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 3, the Bible said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Not only do we exalt him, but the Bible tells us that we are to exalt his name. Because you can't separate the name from God himself. Hallelujah. And we're going to read a couple more scriptures here to bring across that point. We praise as the people of God. We praise and we bless his name. In Psalm 113 and verse number 1, the Bible said, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the name of the Lord. You know, some people, Brother Noah says, we put too much emphasis on the name. But let me tell you what the Word of God does. The Word of God puts a lot of emphasis on the name. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? And if the Word of God puts a lot of emphasis on something, I want to stand up and recognize it and understand what the Word of God is saying. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. But we praise and bless his name. In verse 2 it said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say the name of the Lord. Or the name of Jehovah in this scripture. From the rising of the sun. Now listen at this. From the rising. I know we quote this a lot here, but do you really understand what it's saying? From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name. Somebody say name. Is to be praised. There is significance in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because I'm going to show you here in just a few minutes why that we put so much emphasis on the name of the Lord. In as the people of God, we also call upon his name. Has anybody ever called upon the name of the Lord here tonight? In Psalm 105 and verse 1, the Bible said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. We also sanctify his name. That looks littler than it did when I made it. Can y'all see that? Barely. We sanctify his name. I thought I'd make it easy on the sound guy and create all the scriptures, but it looks like I didn't make it big enough. Hallelujah. That's why you need to bring your Bible to church. Hallelujah. Hey, well. We sanctify his name, treating it as holy and revered and sacred. Don't we do it? We don't take the name of the Lord in vain. We don't talk about the name of God in just a flippant attitude, in a flippant situation, because we revere the name of God. The name of God is powerful. Hallelujah. In one place the Bible said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah. But he said in Isaiah 29 and 23, but when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of them, they shall sanctify my name. Here he is again putting a lot of emphasis on the name. Hallelujah. And sanctify the Holy One of Jacob. We declare as the people of God, we declare his name to one another and to the world. In Psalm 22, and verse number 22, the psalmist said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I will declare the name, thy name. I will. Somebody say, I will declare thy name. And then in Colossians 3:17, and we're going to revisit this in just a minute, but the Bible said, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. Jesus, I'm going to lay out some scriptures here for you, and I know that most of us here already know this, but I really, really feel led of the Lord to teach this or preach this or however it comes out tonight. Amen. There is never, the word of God never gets old to me. I said the word of God never gets old to me. Hallelujah. The more I hear it, the better it becomes in my life. Somebody said repetition is the best teacher. The more you hear something over and over and over again, the better you understand. And I really feel like doing this tonight. Colossians, I already read that. In Matthew 1 and verse number 21, let's turn there. But I want to tell you that Jesus of the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. Somebody say amen. In fact, Jesus literally means Jehovah Savior, or Jehovah our Savior, or Jehovah is our salvation, or has become our salvation. Hallelujah. In Matthew 1 and verse number 21, the Bible said, and talking about Mary, that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I'm going to tell you tonight that the revealed name of God in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? All the scriptures we read in the Old Testament about the name of the Lord and all the references to the name of the Lord and the importance of the name of the Lord, I believe that it is revealed in that name, Jesus. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Because you see, in the end, the Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I want to make sure that I put importance on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 10, the Bible said, be it known unto you all. I wanted to start in verse number 10 for a reason. But let me read it. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. There was no mistaking who the apostles were explaining here. They were describing Jesus Christ, the one that they had crucified, the one that God had raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand before you whole. He's talking about the lame man that was raised up at the gate beautiful, because they were being questioned, by what authority did you raise this man up? And they said, by the authority of the name of Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And I always like to read verse 10 and verse 11, so there's no mistake about verse 12, because it said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. And what name is he talking about? Go back to verse number 10, and it tells us that he's talking about the name of Jesus. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is the only name that will save you, is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And here again, when the Word of God puts a lot of emphasis on a name, I want to stand up and recognize it. I want to stand up and take notice. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. And verse number 21 to verse number 23. Let me lay out something here for you. The Bible said that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is Jesus speaking. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. There is an import in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is vital to salvation. Can somebody say praise the Lord? We already read to you tonight that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, or all in the name of the Lord Jesus. But you see here in this chapter 7 of Matthew, it talks about a people that will stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You see, I believe here in this scripture that they did everything that they could in the name of Jesus. They prophesied, they cast out devils, they did many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. But if you notice something here, it did not say that they baptized in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all of my heart that is the reason why God said, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. It's not enough just to say amen and profess the name of Jesus, but you have to understand that it's the name that will save you. It's the name that will wash your sins away. It's the name of Jesus. Don't misappropriate the name of Jesus, or underestimate the name of Jesus. I'm glad to be a tongue talker tonight. I'm glad to be a holy roller tonight. But you know what? I'm glad to be a Jesus name apostolic tonight. Because I know it's by that name that I'm going to be saved. And I'm going to show you here in just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to give you three reasons that I have found in the Word of God why we put so much importance and so much emphasis on the name of Jesus. And these three reasons, I'm sure you could find more, but I've pinpointed what I feel like are the most important three that I could find here for the sake of time, so that we're not here all night. But three reasons that I found that we baptize in Jesus' name is, number one, is because Jesus commands it. Amen. Number two, because Baptism in Jesus' name remits or removes sin. And number three, because the apostles in the beginning baptized in Jesus' name. Let's take these one at a time, and I'm going to be really, really quick here. We'll take them one at a time, and we'll see how far we get. Let's go back to Matthew 28 and verse 19. Reason number one that I have found in the Word of God that we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ is because Jesus himself commanded it. Can you say praise the Lord? Go back to Matthew 28 and verse 19, and let's read that. The Bible said, "Go ye therefore," he's given a command to his apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Notice here in this scripture that he said to baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say use the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because Father's not a name, and Son is not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name, but these are titles that are describing the manifestations of who God is. So we've got to find out where Jesus commanded us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So we have to look at this. How did these to whom Jesus gave the commandment baptize? And how did they understand the commandment? And we can skip ahead, but we're not at the moment. We can skip ahead to Acts and find out that they actually baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But we got to find out. Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So according to Scripture, we've got to find out what the name of the Father is, or who the name of the Father is, what the name of the Son is, and what the name of the Holy Ghost is. In Revelation 22 and verse 3, the Bible said, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall..." So I know we've gone through this exercise many times here, but I want you to notice verse number 4. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." There is one name. There is one name. Do you believe that? The Bible said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So let me tell you that the name of the Father, I'm going to tell you in advance, just in case you don't know, that the name of the Father is Jesus, and the name of the Son is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Okay? Now, I don't want you to take my word for it, so let's open up some scriptures and see what the Bible said. Excuse me, in John chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said that "I am come in my Father's name." Jesus said, "I've come in my Father's name." Who is Jesus? No, just who is Jesus? I mean, he's a son, right? Because the Bible said that Mary would have a son. So Jesus is the Son. Okay? So what name did the Son come in? Brother Dawson. Jesus. He's a bright fellow over here. It's Jesus is the Son, and the Son came. And what name did the Son come in? He came in Jesus' name, because when the angel came to Mary, she said, "You're going to call his name Jesus." So the Son came in Jesus' name. And so in Matthew, Jesus said, "I've come in my Father's name." So the Father's name evidently must be Jesus if he came in the Father's name. Does that make sense? Amen. And then Matthew 1 and 20, or 1 and verse 21, we read it a few minutes ago, but said that, and if you go to verse number 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So what name did the Son come in? So the name of the Son is? Y'all are smart. John chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said he came in the Father's name, right? So if the Son came in Jesus' name, and he said, I come in my Father's name, so here's the next question. What is the Father's name? Jesus. If Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and he came in Jesus' name, then what name is the Father? Jesus. Do you see that tonight? Now, John 14 and verse number 26, Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, he said here that the Holy Ghost or the Comforter was going to come in that the Father will send in my name. So what was the name of Jesus? Jesus. Boy, y'all are really smart. Jesus said, the Father will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in my name. What is Jesus' name? So then what name did the Holy Ghost come in? So what's the name of the Father? So what's the name of the Son? What's the name of the Holy Ghost? Does that make sense tonight, why we put so much importance on the name of Jesus? Because Jesus commanded to be baptized in his name. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Let's go to the second reason, Brother Dustin, that we baptize in Jesus' name. Is it okay if we just do Bible study a little bit tonight? Hallelujah. Baptism in Jesus' name remits or removes sin. Can somebody say amen? So the second reason that I have found in the Word of God why we should invoke the name of Jesus in baptism is that baptism in Jesus' name remits or removes sin. In Luke 24 and verse number 47, the Bible said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And if you go back to the previous verses there, you'll see that he's talking about Christ. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Amen. So there is a difference. Does anybody believe with me tonight that there is a difference between repentance and remission? Amen. There's a difference between repentance and remission. If this glass of water was somehow purple and I was to accidentally throw it on one of these girls up here on the front row, and then I would say, I'm sorry, that's repentance, right? Do you agree with that? What is repentance? Repentance is turning away or walking away or turning around. So if I was to accidentally throw this water and it was purple on one of these young ladies, I could say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And as sweet as they are, they would forgive me because they wouldn't have any other choice. But they have forgiven me. I have repented. But the purple Kool-Aid is all over that white shirt still. So the stain is still there. Can you say amen? Amen. So what happens? So repentance alone is not enough. Repentance alone does not remove the stain of sin. Do you believe that tonight? But what needs to take place in order to remove the stain of sin? You have to wash it. Right? You have to go get some Gain and Tide and bleach and whatever else you have and wash the stain out. And so Jesus said that repentance and remission or the removal of sin would be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. So when you repent, you're forgiven, but you're not, the sin or the stain is not removed until the blood is applied, until you're washed in the blood of Jesus' name. Do you believe that tonight? When Paul was converted, amen, he was instructed to wash himself or wash his sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. So reason number two is we baptize in Jesus' name because it removes the sin. And you can't have sin removed until you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood is no remission. So the blood washes us or covers us. What's the song that has been sung around church for years and years? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How does the blood of Jesus wash away my sins? Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. We get our sins washed away when we're buried in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? So you understand why we put so much importance on the name of Jesus in baptism. And I'm almost done. And somebody said, amen. And the number three reason that we baptize in Jesus' name that I find in the Word of God is because the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus. And real quickly, if we read the scripture a few minutes ago that in Luke 24 and verse 47, Jesus said the repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? Beginning at Jerusalem. So this is where it all began. So if I want to find out how that the apostles baptized, I need to go where? To Jerusalem. All right, let's pack up. Let's go. No, not literally, but in the Word of God. Let's go to Jerusalem and find out where and how they were baptized. That is the measuring stick. You can produce any kind of book. You can produce any kind of commentary. You can produce any kind of encyclopedia or a theologian. It really doesn't matter, but it's what the Word of God says. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So we go to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 and verse number one, we find that 120 were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem, and they were waiting for what? The promise of the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was come, fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. So we find here that they were in Jerusalem. And those that Jesus was talking to in Matthew chapter 28 were the apostles, were the disciples. That's who he was instructing them. He was sending them forth to and commanding them that they were to evangelize the world and baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. And we found out that that is actually the name of Jesus. So now we find those men that were there with Jesus in action, finding out what they were doing and how they were baptizing on the day of Pentecost. And Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost, was the spokesman that day. And the Bible said in Matthew 16 and 17, Dustin, this is not on the thing there, but he actually gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. And he said, whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I don't know about you, but anybody Jesus gives a key to, I want to pay attention to what they've got to say. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to listen to find out what Peter did. Now here we have the apostles that were there on the day of Pentecost. In verse 38, in chapter 2, Peter spoke up, and before that he was actually telling them that this same Jesus whom you crucified, that God hath made both Lord and Christ. He began to tell them about this man Jesus. But then in verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So on the day of Pentecost, those that heard the words of Jesus actually, Brother Carr, were doing what he said do. He said to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And how do we know what that name is, or who is that name tonight? That name is Jesus. So then we find more of the apostles in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, baptizing in the name of Jesus. You had Philip in Samaria. They had received the word of God, but yet the Holy Ghost had not fallen on them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we find, again, those that were baptized in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, we also find in the house of Cornelius those that were baptized in the name of Jesus. They received the Holy Ghost. I was reading something here this past week about somebody was saying that they could receive the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. And I know we're not specifically talking about the Holy Ghost tonight, but if you look here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 44 and 45 and 46, it said that while Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which were the Jews, believed were astonished that as many as came with them, that on the Gentiles the Holy Ghost was also poured out. How did they know that the Holy Ghost had been poured out? And verse number 46 said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then they were commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 4 and 5 said, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And I'm hurrying. Acts chapter 19 as they come back to the music tonight. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 5. Here we find disciples of John that had come upon Paul. And he asked them, have they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? And they said, we hadn't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. And then he asked them, well, unto what baptism were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And Paul began to explain what John's purpose was and who John was, that there was one coming after, amen, that he was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so when they heard this, in verse 5, they were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Could you stand to your feet tonight? Some people say we put too much emphasis on the name, that we glorify the name, that we idolize the name. And they say, you know, it's not the name of Jesus, it's Jesus himself. It's you've got to just love Jesus. It's you put too much on the name. But I read to you tonight, and this wasn't nearly all of the scriptures that put a lot of emphasis on the name of Jesus Christ. It's that name that's going to save me. It's that name that is to be glorified. Because you can't separate the name from the God. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus that'll let you say, hallelujah, that I've had the Holy Ghost 55 years.
Oh, yeah.
That I've served God 55 years. That he washed my sins away 55 years ago. And are they still under the blood, Sister Riggs? Have they ever come up again? Never. Because when they're under the blood, they're under the blood.
Yes.
Never to be remembered again. And let me tell you something. The only thing that can do that is the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is real. The power of God is real tonight. And it's the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, that will wash away my sins. And you see, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, it's not necessary to get baptized again in Jesus' name. Because if you've been taken under in the water in the name of Jesus, then you've had that blood applied to your life. And if you go over into the New Testament, you'll find that the Bible said that if we sin, and he's talking to the church, that we have an advocate with the Father, or with that the Father through the man Christ Jesus, that he will forgive us of our sin. We don't have to go back and redo that. All we have to do is repent, and he covers us with that blood once again. Can you say amen? If you've been covered in the blood once, hallelujah, you've had the covenant of God upon your life. That's why the thief on the cross could hear the words of Jesus when he said, "This day you're going to be with me in paradise," because he was a covenant child or a covenant man that was under the covenant of the Old Testament law. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." I read to you tonight in Acts 4 and 12 that there's no other name given whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. The angel said that you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Isaiah proclaimed this child to be the mighty God in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." And somebody said, His name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, yes, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we found out tonight that name, that precious name, that Jehovah Savior, is Jesus that will save us.
Oh, yes.
And those sins are only removed or remitted when you're immersed in water. That name, the word baptized, means to be immersed in water in the name of Jesus. And you identify with his death in repentance, with his burial in the baptism, and in his resurrection when you come up out of the water and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in other tongues. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands and just give him praise and thanks? I know that many of you already knew this tonight, but just a reiteration of the Word of God. Amen. This is the Word of God. I'm so thankful that the Word of truth is preached in this church. Hallelujah. That the Word of God is real. That I can be saved. That I don't have to wallow in my sins any longer. And let me tell you tonight, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You can be baptized in that name tonight.
Oh, yeah.
If you've repented of your sins and God has forgiven you, the stain is still there. But to get the stain washed away, you must go down in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Church, would you gather around tonight? Would you bring somebody to the altar with you tonight? Grab somebody's hand. Amen. If you see somebody close to you and you're not sure if they've been baptized in Jesus' name, why don't you ask them, "Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ?" And if they say no, tell them they can be baptized tonight. They can have